Welcome to part two of our two-part episode covering the 21st Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Last week, I reacted to the music videos of each entry, giving my thoughts on the songs and performances. This episode, I will be sharing my thoughts on the live show, the results of the contest, and of course, my reactions to the 16 entries. Let's continue our dive into the Junior Eurovision Song Contest 2023. This is ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. However, this week we're continuing our mini vacation away from the history and obscurity of the Eurovision Song Contest and looking instead at the 2023 Junior Eurovision Song Contest in Nice, France. Welcome to episode 14. My name is Alexander, and let's jump right into the show. So, of course, I have to begin the episode with a disclaimer. I do not condone bullying and abuse towards anyone, especially children. The thoughts and critiques I express on this show are not a personal attack on any child or adult. All 16 entrants in this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest are talented performers who have the courage to showcase their talents on the world stage, and just for that, they're all winners in my eyes. What I will be offering is honest feedback and constructive criticism. I don't condone hate towards anyone, and I offer my opinions in a spirit of love and a desire to support growth and change. With that being said, let's start our look at the live show. The live stream on YouTube begins with the cameras showing some of the artists taking their place on the stage for the opening number before the show officially begins. Whoever was responsible for the live stream, we already have a problem. As a professional production, I should not be seeing any behind-the-scenes footage, especially at the beginning of the show. Throw up the JESC logo until it's time to play the Eurovision theme song, or something to that effect. You don't see other live television shows showing people just standing around waiting for their cue. Now, as a Canadian who cannot watch the show on television, instead relying on YouTube, perhaps this is the only way to do it on YouTube and the television broadcast didn't have any of this extra stuff. Maybe there's some kind of system preventing the technician from putting up a card, but on live stream programs that I've worked on YouTube, I've always been able to put up a title card to hold in place until the show is ready to begin. So from where I'm sitting, there's no real excuse for that. Then the real show begins, with Lissandro, the winner of last year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest, introducing the concept of the show, Heroes, which, after watching the show, I have to admit is an absolutely genius concept. It was great to see Lissandro introduce the show. He's still just as charismatic as he was last year. He also got to hover over the stage, which, especially given the Heroes theme, was great to see. The show starts with all of the 16 entrants singing the theme song of the show, which is a staple tradition in JESC. It's my world, your world, it's our world. If you want it, it's our world. Believe every dream, every hope comes alive. Heroes, heroes. They run through the flag parade in English alphabetical order, which I personally find a bit strange. Why not do it in the running order, like in the adult contest? But that's just me nitpicking, and that doesn't really matter. The flag parade is accompanied by the 2015 song Makaba, which has become popular in 2023 due to its virality on TikTok. Macedonia. I like the Common theme song this year. It sounds great and has a positive message that the theme Heroes wants to project. Then comes The Hosts, which, of course, rely heavily on the French language. Look, I get it. Being in France, you want to speak the French language, but when Junior Eurovision is being put on, it's a global event. And like the Eurovision Song Contest, it should be having English, which really does serve as a universal tourist language. It's important to have a certain level of English being spoken during the proceedings. In most cases in Eurovision, it's bilingual. I mean, yes, sometimes they don't put in as much French as I think they should. But in this case, there are some segments that were just in French. And while I do have the ability to speak French and read a little bit of French, understanding French being spoken by someone else is difficult for me. And the show, in my opinion, needs to have the technical parts in at least both languages, especially with upcoming countries. There's at one point where they were announcing the countries that were about to perform, but she did it in French. And to me, it seems a bit odd having to try and figure out what she's saying in French. And if I was somebody who did not speak a word of French and did not understand what she was saying, I would have felt extremely alienated. Yes, have more French in regular Eurovision and have a bit of a more balance in English and French in both the adult Eurovision and junior Eurovision. Now, the hosts themselves included Laurie Thielmann, who is Miss France 2011, a sports journalist and one of the main faces of France 2. Olivier Min, television presenter for France 2 and one of the hosts of JESC 2021, who also hosted it in France. And Ofenia, a 24-year-old student in psychology with 4.6 million subscribers on TikTok who served as a digital ambassador. Whatever that means. Seriously, what does a digital ambassador do? During the show, there was no mention of social media posts or anything like that. In the 2020 Eurovision Song Contest, Nikki DeJager was an online host for the Europe Shine a Light show that took place in lieu of the contest that year. And she was much more of a digital ambassador because she actually shared people's social media posts.
Good evening, Europe and Australia. It is time for another online update. Let's see what you've posted online. Look at Lotte watching Eurovision Europe Shine a Light together with her dog Teddy. You look fabulous. Enjoy the show.
To me, a digital ambassador should be sharing and communicating with the online community. All Ofenia did was act as a green room host, which, I've got to be honest with you, she was very robotic and I felt she lacked emotion. She would interview the entrants with such cliche questions and then turn quite rigidly and talk to the artist next to her. She was either extremely nervous, which, given she is an influencer, I can't believe that being an influencer is actually a qualification to be a host in a junior Eurovision, but what do I know? Or she had no time to rehearse, which I can believe, considering they didn't start the construction of the stage until September 10th. Or at least it was publicized on September 10th, which, I'm sorry, but with less than 2 weeks to go until the show, the stage hasn't been constructed yet. I'm someone who likes to plan way too far in advance for things, so when something goes wrong, because something always goes wrong, I have time to correct it. But I'm going to leave that there, otherwise I'm going to get into an emotional-driven rant, and that's not what you're here for. At least I assume that's not what you're here for. If you're here for that, please let me know, and I'd be happy to go on a rant and tell them why they were wrong to leave only 2 weeks to put the stage together and rehearsals. In terms of professionalism, the hosts were adequate, but none of them were particularly funny or entertaining. They kind of just kept the show going. There have been Eurovision hosts which I have enjoyed that have been able to keep comedy and professionalism well balanced. Most recently, Hannah Waddingham and Graham Norton of 2023 and Philomena Cautela of 2018. These JESC hosts are just there. But honestly, I don't remember a lot of entertaining JESC hosts, and I don't know if it's because it's a children's show and they can't stray too far into humor, or if it's just part of the territory of choosing news broadcasters as hosts. Seriously, stop choosing news broadcasters as hosts and actually pick fun and entertaining people. All right, I've gone on long enough about the start of the show. Let's get into the entries themselves. I'm going to start off with talking about all of the 16 postcards in one shot because they follow a similar theme. Each postcard depicts someone attempting to participate in an activity, whether it's sports, art, or socializing with the group. They fail at the task, and they walk away defeated and discouraged. Then emerges the entrant, standing on the rooftop of a building, where they act as a hero, using their powers to encourage and invigorate the individual to try again. And they miraculously become an expert in the thing that they were trying to do. The postcard ends with the individual recreating the flag of the participating country with the objects they're using. Examples include Rubik's Cubes for the UK, tennis balls on a court floor for Spain, and a toppled pylon cone for Malta. This is basically a repeat of the 2014 ESC postcard segment where the artists make their flag using a different medium. I absolutely loved the 2014 postcards, and I adore these postcards as well. It plays perfectly into the theme of the show, and I love the creativity of making each flag. Now comes the entries. I'll review them in the running order as presented in the show. First up is Spain. So I'm going to preface this by saying that I'm obviously not a child or a teenager. I am a fully grown adult, so my music taste is not going to necessarily match with the children's music market. Going into this, Spain was, for me, my biggest disappointment. For what it was, it's a good song. Don't get me wrong, it was sung very well, it was performed great, and clearly people loved it. Europe clearly disagrees with me and gave this entry second place, coming third in the jury and second in the online vote. The song resonated with a lot of people, and clearly I just don't agree with the public or the juries on this one. Again, for what it is, it's very well together. I did end up translating the lyrics of the song because I wanted to know more about the song rather than just the superficial performance on the stage. When I thought that she was singing I love you, mon amour, je t'aime, I thought she was singing about a person and she's like traveling the world with this mysterious person that she's in love with. But the lyrics suggest that she loves countries instead, which I can 100% get behind. Lyrics translated into English go something like, I would like to live like this every day. Bring from each corner some souvenir. I would like to discover each country, know its secrets. I would like to dive in every sea. I would like to speak the language of your home and tell me the legends that end up in stories. Spain, your song may be generic, but I 100% get behind the message of the song. And because of that, I have a greater respect for the song, the staging, and even the outfits, which for me was having a bit too much beige, but it also reminds me of an adventurer's outfit like Indiana Jones, so it works. Good job, Spain. Congratulations on getting second place, but for me, please don't forget the cultural sounds that you're so famous for. I love listening to Spanish music, and I think we should have more of that in Junior Eurovision. The second song comes from Malta. All right, Malta, this girl deserves so much more. Her voice is fantastic, but the song is even more generic than Spain's. The staging is non-existent, and I mean that in the literal sense. There's nothing there except a single stool that she sits on for part of the performance, and the backing wall is literally just black with some sparkles. Sometimes there's a camera feed of her singing that's projected onto the back wall in a monochrome style, but that's literally it. For a song about empowerment, I was expecting power, not just in the metaphorical sense, but also in the electrical sense. There is so much lost potential. You could have had more color, more emotion, storytelling, but it's extremely simplistic and pared back. Now, I don't know if it was her choice or if adults decided this. If Yulan decided this, then I would encourage her to let her expression speak on the stage. Go wild with the staging and let your creativity flow. If adults ended up deciding this, then you should know better. Yulan deserves way more than just a black stage wearing a black business suit. Seriously, she looked like she was going to go to the boardroom to discuss business. Let her artistic expression be free, especially with the song singing about being empowered, and with her vocal ability being so well developed, she deserved much more support than I think that she got. This song came 10th overall, coming 8th in the jury and tied for 13th in the online vote with Estonia. Again, not at the fault of Yulan. This to me is just, it's not that exciting. Again, not because of Yulan. She sounds fantastic and she performed the song well. I feel like her team, in my opinion, failed her. She deserves better support. The third song comes from Ukraine. So I walked into this performance remembering the absolute adorableness that is Anastasia, and she did not disappoint. This is cuteness overload, which for JESC is perfect. The back wall presented a story in kind of a comic book theme, which I wasn't expecting, but given the hero's theme fits perfectly with the expression of the entry. Her costume is absolutely adorable, and I love the scepter that she's holding. She is the embodiment of positivity that I think all of us need. And honestly, I don't have much more to say because it was a great performance. It came 5th overall, coming 9th in the jury, which I think is way too low. And it came 3rd in the online vote, which I fully support. I'm happy with Ukraine's placement, and I think their entry was really good. The fourth song comes from Ireland. I'm going to start this with saying, Ireland, in my opinion, you were robbed. It is criminal to have this come last. Ireland got 8 points from the jury, only 2 more than Estonia, which, oh, I'm going to get to that crime in a moment. And it also came last in the online vote. In no universe does this entry come last for me. This song is ethereal. Fantastic vocals and has such a beautiful energy. I also felt that Ireland was just snubbed in general this year, as there is so little footage of Ireland in the green room. They were never interviewed, and I didn't see Jessica go onto the stage during the winner's reprise, which maybe I missed her. I did see Sophie Lennon though, which brings me to a bit of an awkward point. Watching the performance, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Sophie outshined Jessica by a lot. Sophie was Ireland's JESC representative last year in 2022, where she got 4th place. When I saw Sophie in the music video, I was delighted, as it fit beautifully with the design of the video. When I saw Sophie on stage, I got really worried. At parts of the performance, the staging turns quite red, which washes out Jessica's dress, which is gorgeous, by the way, but perhaps a little bit too crowded with the jewels flowing on the front. Sophie's dress is a pure white, which really stands out on the stage. If Jessica was in the white and Sophie was in the red, I think this would have made Jessica more the center of attention, but I couldn't help but focus on Sophie, just purely because of the way that the red dress kind of got washed out with the red background and the white stood out. I understand the desire to support your entrance, but there comes a point where overshadowing can become a problem. And I don't think it was intentional. I think that, you know, Sophie wanted to help support Jessica, and I think the two of them had a great vocal chemistry together. But it felt like Ireland wanted to do well and sent the same artist to do a part two, which I think is perhaps why it didn't do so well. I hope Ireland can learn from this and allow the entrant to shine on their own and be very careful when bringing potentially past contestants to support the entrant, especially those who scored quite well to possibly overshadow them. Jessica is a talented artist, and I would have preferred to have seen her solo or with silent backing support playing magical air spirits or something like that. At the end of the day, Jessica has nothing to be ashamed about. She did Ireland proud and gave a fantastic performance. This is by no means a last place, especially for me. I would have placed this on the left-hand side of the scoreboard. The fifth song comes from the United Kingdom. This staging is amazing. They used techniques similar to Grease in 2021, using special effects to remove the stage and place them in their own world, singing on a rooftop in a cityscape. Weirdly, there are some shots where they switch between the cityscape and the actual stage in the audience, which breaks the immersion for me a little bit, but it doesn't bother me too much. This entry is simply fantastic. Some of their vocals sound like they are shouting the notes rather than singing it. And also, just like the music video, the song ends abruptly, as if they needed to cut the song by 30 seconds because it was over the 3-minute limit. There's no climax of the song, and I felt like it could have used that a bit more. And it ended up coming fourth overall, getting fourth in the jury and seventh in the online vote. They were fifth in last year's JESC, so this is an improvement in rankings. Again, I wish the UK would put this much effort in the adult contest. The United Kingdom was one of the three countries that I voted for, and they performed admirably. The sixth song comes from North Macedonia. I love the entire package of this entry. She is dressed like an Assassin's Creed character walking about a moonlit thoughtscape, which encapsulates the mood of the song, very mysterious and emotional. There are times where she loses a little bit of vocal control, but given the emotional arc of the song, I think that's acceptable. It ended up coming 12th overall, getting 10th in the jury and 15th in the public vote, which to me, I think is a bit too low for this song. This was left-hand side of the scoreboard material for me, but I don't have very much else to say. I just thought it was well put together and I really enjoyed it. The seventh song comes from Estonia. Crimes abound with this entry. I don't know if it was just me, but her microphone sounded weird, like it was muffled or lacked proper EQ settings. I noticed this for other performers as well, but I feel like this balance in microphone wasn't doing her voice justice. The song itself is amazing. It's stunning. I couldn't help but just be mesmerized by her presence on stage. It's dark, it's melancholic, and it's powerful. This song came second last overall. I don't know how that happened. It came last in the jury with 6 points and came joint 13th in the online vote with 43 points. This is a crime. This was left-hand side of the scoreboard easily for me. And how this came 15th, I will not understand. Maybe it's the whole debuting country thing, but Estonia and Arhana, please don't get discouraged by this result. Estonia was one of the three countries that I voted for, and I absolutely loved and adored your performance. You were fantastic on the stage, and I hope to see Estonia next year, and I really hope that Estonia continues to bring this level of quality to JESC. The eighth song comes from Armenia. This has the sass and attitude turned up to 11, and I love it. The song has that ethnic Armenian sound. Spain, please take notes on this. Yet it sounds like a K-pop song, which has a popular following in recent years. The girls' outfits reminds me of Power Rangers with their respective colors, and they look incredible with their urban looks. The one small thing that I don't personally get, and I think this is because I don't listen to K-pop music, is they had this dragon thing at the end. There are some people that are saying that the dragon is a symbol of Korea and Korean pop. I just personally don't get it. It feels out of place compared with the rest of the staging, but I'm just going to let them do it their way and not interfere with these girls at all. Armenia came third overall, coming second in the jury and sixth in the online vote, which is very well deserved. Armenia knows how to do JESC. Now, go ahead and get your first victory in Adult Eurovision because I know you can do it. The ninth song comes from Poland. This entry is giving me Germany 2018 Adult Eurovision vibes, where Michael Schultz sung the song about his tragedy in life, showing memories and emotions on a screen behind him. This song gives me the same kind of feeling, where there are photos of, I assume, the performer when they were younger, showing memories of the past and her expression of her isolation with heartfelt and heartbroken desires for a friend being sincere. She performs the song extremely well. Her vocals are on point and the staging behind her is fantastic. The dancers around her feel like the spirit of friendship reaching out to her. And it ends with the phrase, "I just need a friend," in what I assume is each language of the 16 participating countries. I saw German, French, Spanish, and English, and there are 16 phrases, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that I'm correct on that. The outfit she has on is all right. I don't know if I would encourage a change or not, but overall, I'm pleased with this performance. Poland placed sixth overall, getting sixth in the jury and eighth in the online vote, which I think is a fair placement for Poland. Well done. The tenth song comes from Georgia. Like Ireland and Estonia, Georgia was also robbed, in my opinion. How this came third from the bottom overall and in the jury is a mystery to me. It does come ninth in the online vote, and even that's a bit low for me. Vocally, it was absolute perfection. Perfect blending and amazing sounds. The staging was mystical, brilliant, and overall mesmerizing. If there is only one tiny change that I would make is keep the costumes as they are, but add a splash of color somewhere on there. The black lines on Anastasia's dress are begging to be filled with color. Even with like the red of the Georgian flag, this staging is very bright, and with bright costumes, there are points where some things feel washed out. But honestly, Georgia deserves left-hand side of the scoreboard for this entry, and this result was far too low for Georgia. They keep bringing the quality every year, and this year for me was no exception. The 11th song comes from Portugal. All right, I have to be honest, there's a lot about this entry that I disagree with on a creative level. I basically envisioned Malta staging for Portugal. Simple, pared back, dark, with the singer standing out in some kind of nice outfit. Instead, Portugal goes with a mystical fairy tale scape with a matching dress and eye makeup. Again, I don't know who made this decision, whether it was Julia herself or the team around her, quote-unquote, encouraging her to do this. I would have preferred, personally, something more pared back, and the concept distracted me from enjoying the song. She sounds great, I just don't agree with the creative decisions, personally. Portugal came 13th overall, 13th in the jury, and tying for 10th in the online vote with Albania. I think that's an appropriate result, but again, the creative decisions I just don't agree with, and that's just me. The 12th song comes from France. I understand why this song won. It's another charismatic package from France. Zoe has a great voice, she has a cute element to her presence, and France does what it does best at Junior Eurovision. This is their third win in 4 years, and France has been in the top five every year since they returned in 2018. Their worst placement in JESC was their debut in 2004 with 6th place. And considering France hasn't won the adult contest since the 1970s, I imagine that they're taking JESC pretty seriously considering the level of effort they put into their songs. The one element which I personally didn't get excited about was the outfit. It felt too much like a pink disco ball. I would have preferred to have seen a dress similar to France's 2020 entry, but kind of less cone-shaped and more a form-fitting for Zoe, but honestly, that's just me nitpicking. Well-deserved win for France. Fantastic vocals. I loved the heart-shaped piano. I thought that was adorable. And I love the way that the lighting surrounded the stage and the dancers. I think that was a really nice touch. Another deserved win for France, another double win, which makes me wonder if they'll pull a 1990s Ireland and do a hat trick. Only time will tell. The 13th song comes from Albania. I think this was a great performance. I loved her costume. The design on the wings is beautiful, and I love the artwork on her face. It felt very gilded amongst the paired backstage. The backing screen simply works for her, and Viola's voice was fantastic. It was dramatic, thought-provoking, and I honestly enjoyed it. I think the only thing I would add to this performance is backing dancers, doing some kind of interpretive ballet behind her. I feel like the stage makes her feel a bit small, and with her being stationary on the stage, it feels a bit empty for me, but other than that, I think it was a solid performance. This song came 8th overall, getting 5th in the jury and 10th in the online vote, and this is their second highest placement at the contest, and it is well deserved. Great effort from Albania. The 14th song comes from Italy.
Realize all the emotion you feel could be just like mine.
keeping myself honest here, the staging did not work. The piano keeps the girls separated, and it affected the chemistry of the two of them. They feel like separate performers rather than a duo, and the chemistry just feels cold to me. Don't get me wrong, they have great voices. Again, and the song is interesting and intriguing, but the staging just doesn't help them. Also, I felt like they should have sung towards each other more rather than the audience to tell a story that is between two friends, rather than two people that happen to share the same stage. I enjoyed the song, their outfits felt plain, but for the song, I guess it works. It needs elements of relatability, which I get the choice, but I would have made small tweaks to improve the chemistry between the two of them. Their voices blend well together and the quality is there, but they needed better staging and cues. Italy ended up coming 11th overall, getting 11th in the jury and 12th in the online vote, which I think for me is an appropriate result. Decent effort from Italy, but again, being honest, I think the staging needed some work. The 15th song comes from Germany. So Germany is the third country that I ended up voting for. Her voice is absolute perfection. I keep saying this for a lot of the artists, but it's true. So innocent and pure, and her stage presence was inspiring. Her sign language and her commitment to the song was just stunning. Simple staging elements, simple presence on the stage. The outfit wasn't complicated or outlandish. It was just wonderful. This is left-hand side of the scoreboard for me, and for Germany to come 9th overall, just on the top of the right-hand side, I think I can accept being close to the left-hand side. It came 12th in the jury, which I know the jury has kids and adults, so I'm going to assume that the kids were voting normally and the adults were off in their own universe, not paying attention, because Germany was amazing, and the public agreed with me because Germany came 4th in the online vote. 4th online and 12th in the jury. That is the biggest discrepancy between votes this year, which I have to question the competence of the adults in the jury. Kids in the jury, I have no problem with, but to the adults in the room, have you lost your minds? This is a crime. Again, I keep saying that there are crimes with Ireland, Estonia, now Germany. Adults, you should know better. I mean, there are some other large discrepancies with 5 or 6 place differences, but 8 place differences? Seriously? You should know better. Estonia, Ireland, Georgia, they deserve much more love too, but at some point the lines do have to be drawn. So I'm going to leave these crimes and these thoughts of crimes here and just say, I think they just deserved to come higher up in the leaderboard, or at least get some more points. The 16th and final song comes from the Netherlands. Okay, so I have a few notes that I'm going to start off with that are not related to the song, staging, or the costume. This is directed towards the camera crew. I don't know what you thought you were doing, but this is probably some of the most chaotic camera work that I saw, and not in a good way. I don't remember if the camera did this for other countries, but for the Netherlands, they kept showing a specific section of the audience that had yellow t-shirts with Seb and Yasmin's names on them. I get it, you want to show off the audience dancing to the song, but showing the same audience segment is just not a good look, in my opinion. I would much rather have seen regular audience members or even the artists themselves dancing in the green room. In the Adult Eurovision in 2019, the artists in the green room formed a huge conga line during the Spanish entry, which I love watching the behind the scenes, and I wish this was shown during the performance, as Spain's staging that year was absolutely hideous. I think this is an injustice when you are breaking away from a fantastic staging concept. I love the DJ above the performers. I love the set design. I love the absolute package that this song is. It's a great catchy tune, but the problem is the camera work is just shoddy. It's zooming in at the wrong moments and constantly breaking the immersion of the song. There are no close moments and it's all panning and zooming in and out, which for this entry, I'm not a fan of. I do have two notes for Seb and Yasmin, which again, I don't know if they were the ones who made the decision or if they were pressured into doing it, but here are my honest thoughts. First, Seb, I don't know if it was your microphone or if you had problems with your voice. I heard a rumor that you had a sore throat at one point, but that's speculation on my part. I wanted to hear more of you. You sound great, and I could not hear you over the simulated vocals in the chorus. You are talented. You have a great stage presence, and there were times where you looked like a backing singer when you should have been the star. Again, I don't know who made the decision, but I want you to know that you have a great stage personality and have great chemistry with Yasmin, and I would have liked to have seen you more in the center stage. Second to Yasmin, once again, I don't know who makes the decisions, but I would have gone in a different direction over your costume and styling. It feels very 1960s and 1970s, and I would have loved to have seen you in a more modern style to complement Seb's sports ensemble. Perhaps something more summery or even swap outfits with the DJ. I would have loved to have seen the DJ in glitter and glam. But for me, the costuming just doesn't go with the song. Again, I love the song. The staging is fantastic. Your voice is great. I just would have personally gone in a different direction with the costume. The Netherlands ended up coming 7th overall, getting 7th in the jury and coming 5th in the online vote, which I think is a very appropriate placement for the Netherlands. And that is all 16 entries in Junior Eurovision this year. But of course, the show continues as votes come in and are calculated. So let's take a quick look at the interval acts. First up is Lissandro's winning song from last year. A year since victory, and he has improved massively. He was already an impressive charisma machine, and this was a huge improvement from perfection. He has much more control over his vocals, and he makes smart decisions to rein in his voice in order to produce a more controlled performance rather than letting his voice kind of go all wild and maybe a little bit pitchy. Only once did he look out of breath, which works for the performance in my opinion. It's a very 1950s inspired performance, especially with the backing dancers and the car. Honestly, I still love this entry, and it's one of my top JESC winners. One thing I would change about this. Add some sequins. Add some glitter. Something sparkly to the jacket, like he did last year. Seriously, that's the only thing I would change. Make the jacket sparkle, just like he sparkles on the stage with that charisma and that voice. That kid is going places. Seriously, great performance. Great job, Lissandro. You are a superstar. Second up is Amir, who sung his entry that represented France in 2016 and a new song of his. So I don't know why they didn't bring back their French entrant from 2023 or literally any artist from the 2020s. Why go back to 2016? Maybe it's a nod to the fact that Eurovision's going to Sweden and Amir performed in Eurovision 2016, which was in Sweden. It was a good performance, a bit chaotic with the performers doing acrobats. It almost felt like a circus with the colored outfits and the tricks on the stage. It was enjoyable, but Lissandro has a lot more charisma than Amir does. Then comes what I think is the biggest flop in JESC history, and that is saying something. They bring out French pianist and TikTok personality Vantone, which, ugh. Okay, I'm not a fan of TikTok. That is not someplace I go. The pianist is talented. That's not the problem I have. I don't have a problem with him on the stage. I don't have a problem with him and his piano skills. I have a problem when you are expecting the audience to sing songs being played by the pianist and not having microphones to pick up the sound.
Okay. Incroyable! Vantone, vous pouvez l'applaudir!
I mean, my goodness, if you expect the audience to sing a song, first off, that's a terrible idea. Because not everyone's going to know what the song is. Not everybody's going to be able to sing loudly or want to sing loudly. And it's just not going to be picked up on television. It seems like a great creative and community building idea to like, oh, let's just all sing song together because it's going to sound great in community and rah, rah, rah. But it doesn't work on television. It just, And second off, again, no one can hear anything on the television. The host has to keep putting on these vocal prompts, which helps to keep the song going along. But honestly, I was just listening to some random person playing two songs on the piano with the crowd singing along. This was not an interval act for me. This was just, oh, we need to distract the audience for 3 minutes while we set up the stage. Honestly, that was probably one of the worst interval acts that I have seen on the Junior Eurovision stage. Again, not hating on the pianist. The pianist was fine. I personally would not go to TikTok to find my hosts and my interval acts, but I'm just basically an old man at this point saying, stay away from TikTok. Again, I'm criticizing whoever came up with that decision and the technicians who made no effort to get the crowd singing. Or maybe they tried to make an effort, but they only had 2 weeks to come up with all the technical stuff. And they're like, well, we can't do anything about it. So let's just try and make the crowd sound loud. I mean, even have the actual entrants themselves singing the song or have the host singing along the whole time and then have the audience sound in the background attached to the host. Please, please, please don't do something like that ever again. Crowd singing just does not work. And thank goodness, the show moves on to a much better performance containing former French Junior Eurovision entrants Angelina, Valentina, Enzo, and Lissandro. They close the interval with We Are the World, the song written for Band-Aid in support of AIDS research.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day.
So I have to go back and watch the other JESCs to confirm this, so I don't know if this is correct or not. I believe this is the first time that JESC has done a performance for a specific charity. Again, I don't know if it's true or not, but it feels like it's never been done before. I don't know much about the Nonviolence Project, but what I will say is that the performance of French JESC artists and all of the 2023 entrants was wonderful. Everyone wore a white t-shirt with the word peace written on it, except the Irish entrant who held up a sign, as there was no way a t-shirt was going over that gorgeous dress. I would have preferred to have seen the word peace in all the languages of the participating countries. Peace in French, Spanish, Portuguese, Maltese, Estonian, German, Polish, etc. Nevertheless, it was very well done. I'm glad it sounded like the 1980s version, and it was a beautiful performance. My only concern is that when you support a specific charity and not just a general cause, you need to make sure that the charity doesn't have any skeletons in its closet. Sometimes there are charities that we support and we end up finding later on down the road that they are involved in embezzlements or political activity or some kind of other controversial thing which doesn't look great in optics. And so again, I don't know anything about the Nonviolence Project. Perhaps it is this fantastic charity that does this amazing work and that needs even more public support. But if there ever comes a time where the Nonviolence Project gets into controversy, JESC is now tied into that and will have supported a charity that did something controversial. Again, this is all hypothetical if this ever does happen, so I can't speak on the Nonviolence Project. I encourage you to look into their work yourself and to see the work that they do. Of course, I support peace and I support nonviolence in every way, shape, and form. And if there's a charity that does work to actually actively promote peace in a helpful way, then all power to them. I just want to make sure that JESC exercises some caution when they're doing things like this in the future. Then, of course, the show closes with the vote and the winning performance from France. The reprise of the winning song is my favorite part of the show because all of the entrants join on stage to celebrate with the winner. This year, everybody was rushing to hug Zoe, and it was simple, pure wholesomeness. Everyone was thrilled to see France win, and they were dancing along with the song and the theme song that closed the show. Well done, France, and congratulations to France for winning back-to-back and tying for the most wins with Georgia. To close my review of JESC 2023, I have to acknowledge some technical issues that I noticed. There were cameras spotted in Ukraine's and Portugal's performances, and the camera work during the green room segments was atrocious. Throughout the show, you can see people transitioning on the stage, which in 2023 should not be happening. I've worked in audiovisual spaces for 15 years, and some of the audio balancing issues for many of the performances was just bewildering for me. Some microphones didn't sound balanced, some instrumentals were too loud, and I just couldn't hear some of the singers properly. There were lots of microphone poppings, and honestly, it distracted me from fully enjoying the show. Now, don't get me wrong, overall the show was great. It had good quality for a lot of the parts of the staging, but some of these errors were noticeable and honestly should not have happened. Overall, JESC 2023 was a good show, and it speaks to the increasing quality and expectations that broadcasters are meeting. They see last year's JESC and they want to put on an equally, if not better, show than their predecessor. But that being said, there could have been improvements to the show, and had they had more than 2 weeks of rehearsal time, perhaps those improvements could have been implemented. Whoever hosts next year, please, please, please do not wait until 2 weeks before the competition to put the stage together. Run your technical rehearsals, get your camera times correct, and please remember that these entrants are children and they're teenagers. They need to be supported by everybody, not just their fans, but the technical team, the adult delegates, and the EBU itself. To all 16 entrants, if any of you are happening to listen to this, please know that I am proud of your performances, and regardless of where you ended up on the leaderboard, whether on the top, the bottom, on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, know that you are talented, you are charismatic, you have incredible vocals, and you represented your country proud. I did not hear a single bad vocal, and there were no bad songs this year. As a Canadian, I cheered for each and every one of you and your countries, and I hope you look back at this experience with happiness and remember the friendships and bonds that you made with each other and your teams. Well done to each and every single one of you. And those are my thoughts on the Junior Eurovision Song Contest 2023. Again, there were no bad vocals at all. All 16 entries were well put together. And while I do have some of my favorites and standouts, and I do have critiques that I would have put in to alter some of the performances, ultimately, each child is a winner in my eyes, and they should be proud of the courage and their conviction to represent their country on the world stage. I know that I certainly would not have had the same level of courage and conviction at their age, even more so now at my age. Now, let's turn away from Junior Eurovision and look at some news from the Adult Eurovision Song Contest. It's time for the Eurovision Report. Sara Tavares, the artist who represented Portugal at the Eurovision Song Contest in 1994, passed away at the age of 45. She represented Portugal with the song Chamada Música, earning an honorable 8th place at the competition. Born in Lisbon with Cabo Verde roots, she held a well-respected music career well into the 21st century, receiving the Best Female Voice Award at the Cabo Verde Music Awards in 2011. This is reported by Sanjay Giandani of ESC Today. The official list of participating countries as of the recording of this episode has yet to be fully released. There have been later releases of participation lists, including in December and January during the years of 2010 to 2015. However, rumors are swirling over the continued participation of Australia and the potential returns of Bulgaria and Montenegro. The EBU released the following statement. The list of public service media broadcasters who will take part next year is currently being finalized and will be published in its entirety once preparations are complete. So far, 35 countries have confirmed their participation, with Armenia, Australia, Bulgaria, Montenegro, Romania, and North Macedonia still having yet to confirm their participation, bringing the total potential number of participants to 41. This is reported by Sanjay Giandani of ESC Today. This has been the Eurovision Report. Now it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I share a Eurovision entry that I find entertaining, terrible, forgettable, or iconic. Let's find out which entry gets Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the Turkish entry for 1987, Şarkım Sevgi Üstüne, My Song is About Love, sung by Seyal Tener and Grup Lokomotif, composer and lyricist Olkayto Ahmet Tusis, conducted by Gero Mafyan, placing 22nd, last place, with 0 points. I may have mentioned some crimes occurring in this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest, but those crimes do not compare to the absolute crime that is this entry getting 0 points. Some of you may not be aware of just how much I obsess about the Eurovision Song Contest. As a Canadian, if I meet someone with European roots, I find a way to bring up Eurovision every time just to get some validation of Eurovision's existence. My obsession with Eurovision is a 12 out of 10, and if you need a visual representation of my obsession, then watch this performance and the energy that they bring. This performance brings the same level of energy as my obsession with Eurovision. None of the artists on stage can stand still, and my love for Eurovision does the same. The singers are even singing while bouncing up and down wildly, and I am all here for it. They are taking advantage of that stage using every single square centimeter of space. They are loving life, and I'm here for it. Lyrics on the Diggaloo Thrush website translated by Luke Nolan say the following. My world is not a lie. My dream is no illusion. It's the reality. The whole world should hear it. I wrote a song about it. My song is full of love. My song is full of friendship. My road is the road of wisdom. My road is love. A melody, a melody, a melody, friendship, love. This entry is absolute perfection and is the perfect wake-up call for anyone who was sleepy in the audience. It's a great workout and summarizes my love for Eurovision perfectly. Turkey, you did not deserve 0 points this year, and for me, you get a douze point. You get Song of the Week. Those are my thoughts and comments on the Junior Eurovision Song Contest 2023. I enjoyed watching the show, and again, I want to congratulate all 16 entrants in this year's contest. You all made your country proud and were absolutely fantastic. I hope to see you on the Eurovision stage one day, or wherever you wish to go in life. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, and also thank you to those of you who also listened to last week's. This is not my normal kind of content, and it was fun to take a break from the history and celebrate a different Eurovision program. If you are interested in hearing some of our regular content, be sure to check out our previous episodes where we look at Eurovision artists, hosts, venues, interval acts, and much more. Next week, we are returning to our regular content, visiting the Eurovision Yearbook series, where we'll be taking a look at a life of a Eurovision artist, so stay tuned to find out who we'll be covering next. If you would like to get in touch with your thoughts or comments, whether on this year's JESC or on anything else, you can reach out to the podcast on Instagram at ESC101podcast. You can also send an email to ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to leave us a review on whichever podcast platform you're on so other Eurovision history fans can find us. Thank you so much for joining me in looking at this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest, and I hope to see you next week. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.